Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to The Balance Point. Today is a special day. Today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we get into today's message, let's just take a moment and let's incline our hearts towards God and turn our mind towards today in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together as your family. Though we may be separated by 12 time zones and literally thousands of miles, your word is true where it says where two or three are gathered together, I am there in your midst. And we are more than two or three, and we are gathered together. Yes, we're split by time zones. We're split by distance. We're split by a virus, but we are together in your name. And so, Father God, we pray that you would have your way with our time today, that you'd be glorified, magnified, that your name would be lifted high. That, Father God, today would be all about Jesus and all about the work that he has already completed for us. Father God, we thank you for the cross, but we also thank you for the resurrection. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Again, welcome to Balance Point, and especially welcome to our international viewers and our international listeners. Again, today is just that special, special day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we get into our scripture, we're going to be putting into our scripture at Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And if you've been around the church more than about 5 days or so, this is probably a very familiar passage. And I'm looking at it from a little bit different perspective for me this year. You know, our title card said it all. Hidden in plain sight. And so today we want to look at some of the reasons why we may not necessarily see the Savior, even though all of the work of salvation was done. It was done on the cross. Even though the validation of the work that God has done for us was validated by the empty tomb. And yet, often, we miss that salvation, even though it was sitting in plain sight. And so today I want to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, and one that's been preached on many times over Easter, over many Easters, going all the way back to the beginning. And that's the passage that deals with the two travelers on the road to Emmaus. And I want to set the scene before we get into our scripture. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to set the scene even as we get into our scripture. I've changed my mind. Putting in at Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. I want to stop here. Here's where we're setting the scene. These are two travelers, and they are on the road going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. One of the older translations puts it this way. And they were on the road to a village called Emmaus, which was about a Sabbath day's journey. Why is it important that it was a Sabbath day journey? Because this was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, in rising from the dead, was fulfilling one of the 7 Jewish feasts. And this one was one of the required feasts. It's a feast that is loosely affiliated with Passover. It's the feast called the Feast of First Fruits. And it was considered a holy day. It was considered a Sabbath. And that's why it's important to note that they were on a Sabbath day's journey. Remember, even though Jesus had fulfilled the law, it was not yet quite recognized that he had fulfilled the law. So you still had these rules saying that you could only go so far on the Sabbath day. You could only do certain things on the Sabbath day. You were to do no work on the Sabbath day. And this was a Sabbath day. And this was a day fixed on the Jewish calendar. It is the first day after Shabbat, after Passover. Passover would have been a Shabbat, and then there was a day, the weekly Sabbath. So this is the first day. This is Sunday, what we call Sunday. And Jesus has already risen from the dead. We don't know what time he rose from the dead. We know that the empty tomb was found right about dawn. But he might have been gone because of the way Jews reckon the calendar. He could have been gone anytime from right after sundown on Saturday right up to before dawn. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. All we know is that when the women went to the tomb, it was empty. And they went and they told the disciples, and Peter and John ran to the tomb, and it was empty. And now we meet up with these two travelers on the road to Emmaus. And they're going to get a visitor. And let's take a look. And they talk together of all these things which had happened. What things? Holy Week, the triumphal entry a week before, what we call Palm Sunday. Jesus presenting himself at the temple 3 days before the Passover. Jesus being examined by the scribes, by the Pharisees, by the teachers of the law, by the priests and the high priest family, all leading up to his rejection and his crucifixion at the Passover. And so they talked together of these things which happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near to them and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. They didn't know him. They did not recognize him. Now, these are two of his disciples. We don't know how close as disciples they were, but you know, they were known as disciples. I don't know whether these two had been with him from the very beginning of his ministry, meaning that they were with him for the entire 3 years, or they were fairly recent disciples, but they were with him, and apparently they would have known him. They would have recognized him. But the scripture says here in verse 16 that their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. It's from this verse that we get the title of the message, Hidden in Plain Sight. Hidden in plain sight. Jesus was with them, hidden in plain sight. Jesus was walking beside them, and yet they did not recognize him. And so I want to pull apart some of the reasons why they would not have recognized him. And I want to begin with the first reason, called busyness. They were on their way doing their own thing. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day. What same day? The day of the resurrection. To a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles away. So they were traveling. In other words, these two disciples had places to go and things to see. They had their eyes set to make that Sabbath day journey. And they wanted to be sure that they made the Sabbath day journey because they didn't want to violate the law. So watch this. They had on their minds that they were going to a place. They had on their minds their religious duty not to go too far. They had stuff on their minds. They were physically involved in getting somewhere. How often are we so physically involved in getting somewhere? Maybe we're physically involved in getting to church. And we're so busy with the things that need to happen to get to church. You gotta get up, get showered, get the kids ready, get into the car. Get everybody into the car. Get to the church, get to a good seat in the church, sit down. And by the time we get to church, by the time we get to the place of worship, we are so wiped out that we miss the Lord, even though he's right there with us in our midst. So they were going somewhere. They were busy. And they talked together about these things that happened. Second reason that we quite often miss Jesus, even though he was in plain sight, is because instead of our eyes being focused on the future, instead of our eyes being focused on him, our eyes are focused looking back. And they were talking over the things that happened. They were like, I can almost imagine the conversations like, dude, we thought this was it. We thought this Jesus guy, and so they were looking back and they were rehearsing and playing over the events that happened. And they were reasoning. They're reasoning. You know, the proverb says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Another reason why we sometimes miss Jesus, even though he is hidden in plain sight, is because we're too busy trying to figure out God. We're too busy trying to figure out the things of God. Now, I am not disrespecting the study of theology. I mean, I hope not. I've earned a degree in it. But sometimes we're so busy reasoning about who God is, what God is, where God is. We're so busy trying to figure out God, trying to figure out his plans, trying to figure out why he's doing the things that he's doing and the way he's doing it. And we're so busy trying to reason that we miss the reason, that we miss the person. And they were trying to figure it out because they had some, well, I don't want to ruin it. We'll get to that part. And so their eyes were restrained. Pick it up verse 17. Now, if you ever wondered if God has a sense of humor, if Jesus has a sense of humor, here's proof that Jesus has a sense of humor. Verse 17 and 18. And 19, especially verse 19. And he said to them, that's Jesus, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad? Now, Jesus picks the next reason why we often miss him, why he is often hidden in plain sight. Sadness. Often we miss God. We miss his salvation. We miss the gift of his joy because of our disappointments in the way things have gone in the past. We're often disappointed and we're sad. And in our sadness, we miss him. Sometimes that sadness turns to anger, and that anger will turn to bitterness, And when we're angry, when we're bitter, when we're mad at God, when we're sad because God may have made us a promise, but he didn't keep the promise in the way that we expected, which brings us, will bring us into our next point. We miss him. We miss him because our emotions have gotten in the way. What is this conversation that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Wow. Verse 18. And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, that is Jesus, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened these days? In other words, dude, where you been? And here's why I say Jesus has a sense of humor. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, what things? I want you to imagine. I want you, in your mind's eye, travel back 2,000 years. And you're a fourth person kind of hanging back and you're listening to this conversation. And the disciples say, don't you know what went on? Hey, bro, don't you know what's up? And Jesus replies. I can imagine Jesus doing this with a perfectly straight face. What things? This is a man who a week ago had been hailed as the coming king, rode into Jerusalem on the donkey fulfilling prophecy, with women and children and men laying down their cloaks and singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, save us from the high of that to clearing the temple, to being questioned about his authority, to having the woman caught in adultery, drugged naked. Got some questions. Where was her partner? Because under the law, both of them were supposed to be stoned. Having celebrated the Passover, washed his disciples' feet, prayed in a garden, sweated like drops of blood, arrested, tried multiple times illegally, beaten multiple times, including the Roman scourge, which killed many people. Many people never made to be crucified. They died during the scourging. Carrying his cross, mocked, jeered at, nailed to a cross, naked, watched as his garments were gambled for, took care of his mom by commending her into the care of John, mocked by two thieves, feeling the full rejection of the Father as the Father turned his back because he could not look at the sin and crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? All of these things. And then to have died, was buried, went on, according to the scripture, went on a mission into the grave to preach to the souls who were in the grave and to proclaim to them that the time of salvation had come and to bring forth the first fruits of the grave, he himself first. And according to the scriptures, many who rose with him. greeted by the woman at the tomb, who was so grateful to have seen him that she clung to him with all of her might, all of her heart, all of her soul, and all of her strength. Does that sound familiar? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your might, all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your heart. And then to appear to these two on the road and actually ask, what things God has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. And his two rogue companions still don't recognize him. So they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and before all men. So they are testifying to what they saw before the cross. Often we testify more to what we saw before the cross rather than what we see after the cross. And now we come to another reason why we often do not see what is hidden in plain sight. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. They were looking for a political redeemer. They were looking for somebody who would come in riding the white horse, who would overthrow Rome, bring the Jewish people back into the land, and restore the fortunes of Israel. And they were correct to look for a savior who would do that. The scripture is plain. The Old Testament is plain. That's part of God's plan. But God had a bigger plan. Plan to save you. The plan to save me. God had a more awesome plan. And we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. So they did not see the obvious because they were looking to another place. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. So that they're remembering that Jesus said that he would die and rise on the third day. Yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Here's another reason why we often miss our salvation, why we often miss Jesus. And that's because often we have the testimony of persons that we know, but we know them so well that we don't believe them when they say they've encountered God. We know them so well that when they say, hey, you need to meet this Jesus that I met. Why? Because we can remember what they were like. We can remember what they were like when they were going out to the bar with us, when they were going out clubbing with us, when they might have been going out getting high with us, when they might have been going out getting into trouble with us. We remember what they were like back then. Back then. And then they come and they say, I saw Jesus. These women came and reported, the tomb is empty. And one of them reported, I saw Jesus. But you have to understand, back then, the testimony of a woman was considered to be less than that of the testimony of a slave. And so quite often we will miss what is standing right in front of us, because our eyes only see the messengers and not the message. These two disciples heard the testimony of the women, but they didn't believe because they were women. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they didn't see. So as far as these two are probably concerned, it's like, well, you know, if the tomb was empty, probably somebody stole the body. You know, we thought this was the one, but, you know, he turned out that he wasn't. You know, gosh, I'm bummed as I walk down this road. We really hoped that this would be Jesus and that he would do the things that we expected. But he didn't. Instead, he died. And the amazing thing is Jesus had told them multiple times before that he was going to die. That he was going to be put to death. And watch what Jesus did. Watch what Jesus did. Verse 26. Hear the words of Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken." Remember, these are Jewish guys. If they were bar mitzvah back then, there's a pretty decent chance that they had a good chunk of the Old Testament memorized. They could probably quote it forwards, backwards, sideways, chapter and verse, with cross references, because that's how they were trained. That's how the Jewish people were trained in the Bible back then. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" In other words, often we do not see what is hidden in plain sight. Often we do not see the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the mercy of God, because we are so learned in the things of God that when God moves, we don't recognize it. And when God speaks, we don't hear it. Even though God is consistent. Yes, God is consistent. Even though God is consistent. And yet, we don't recognize him. And at the beginning of Moses and all of the prophets, in other words, Jesus started at Genesis 1:1. And went to the end of Malachi. He expounded to them in all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. These two men got a 7-mile Bible study taught by no one other than Jesus. And here's the amazing thing. They still don't recognize him. When they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated, that's Jesus, that he would have gone on further. In other words, Jesus came to do what he was going to do, and he was going to put it in B for boogie. He was going to move on, but they constrained him. So I've talked about all of the reasons why we miss seeing that which is in plain sight. So, how do we get to a point where we can see that which is in plain sight? One, we will see what God has hidden for us in plain sight when we get to where we're supposed to be. Sometimes we miss God because we're looking too hard for God. There's a thought. There's probably an entire sermon there. So they got to the village. Boom. They're where they're going to go. The second thing that we need to do is we need to, the text here says constrain, but we need to invite Jesus. We need to invite God. We need to invite the Father. We need to invite the Spirit to stay with us. To just hang with us. Notice they didn't constrain him to teach him another lesson. They didn't constrain him to do a miracle. I mean, at this point, they didn't even recognize that this was who they had. But instead, they simply constrained them to stay with them for the evening. How often do we miss God because we don't just chill? We don't just stop. We don't just relax. Now, this is, I'm going to confess right here in the middle of my message. This Resurrection Sunday has been particularly special for me. I mean, special for a lot of reasons. This is the first Resurrection Sunday in over 10 years that I've not been with a very good friend of mine, Pastor Calvin. He went home to be with the Lord January last year. So technically, this is my second Resurrection Sunday. This is my first Resurrection Sunday without my mom. My mom went home to be with the Lord just a couple of months ago. But this is also a special Resurrection Sunday for me because this is the first time in well over 10 years that I have not ministered at like 5-6 services over the course of a weekend. And that makes it special. And I have to tell you, but tell you the truth. I mean, I love serving and I love serving you guys. But I have to tell you something really awesome and really special. And that is, this Resurrection Sunday was very special for me. Because I woke up relaxed. And I woke up and even though I was serving at my new church, I woke up and I just was in the presence of God. And I had no rush to get to church. The heavy lifting had been done earlier in the week. And as I was preparing this morning, an old song just bubbled up in my spirit. And the song is, "Come Just As You Are." Come just as you are. And it's so tied into what I've been meditating on for this message that we need to stop. We need to, let me get theologic. Thus says the Lord, chill. Chill. We need to slow down. And as verse 29 says, but they constrained him saying, abide with us. Stay with us. For it's toward evening. And the day is far spent. Jesus, stay with us. We're not looking for profound teaching from you, Lord. We're not looking for a miracle from you, Lord. In fact, right now, Lord, we're not even particularly looking for you to save us, even though your name is salvation. But Lord, just stay. Stay with us. Simple, isn't it? if you don't know Jesus, today, just say, Jesus, I want to get to know you. Just stay with me. Salvation is just that simple. That's your prayer of salvation. You know, God, I was wrong. Come stay with me. And watch this, verse 30. And when it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. I want to stop here, because here is something that is unusual. You see, Jesus, in this situation with these two from the road, is the guest. And yet, as the guest, he took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. In other words, he did it all. He did it all. The one who created the universe did it all. And then he gave it to them. And then he gave it to them. So he does it all, and then he gives it to us. He does everything needed for our salvation, and then he gives it to us. He does everything we need for our healing, and then he gives it to us. He does everything we need for our joy, and then he gives it to us. Why? Because they simply invited him to stay, to abide. Gave it to them. And here's the coolest bit. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They recognized him. They were like, you're the Lord. It's true. You're the salvation. It's true. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. They saw him for the first time. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? Now, I have to wonder, because they're disciples. They've been with him for a while. Did not their hearts burn before the crucifixion? What was special about this time and these two? I would submit to you, yes, they had been with him before the cross, but then they were with him after the resurrection. Let me repeat that. They were with him before the cross. In other words, watch this. Before we are saved, God's with us. He's all around us. He's working on us. He's working around us. He's working through us. But then when we finally say to him, come and stay with me, then he's with us. You see, before we see that which is hidden in plain sight, we don't recognize what we have. But after we've asked him to stay, and after he's revealed himself in the staying with us, in the breaking of the bread, his body, in the blessing of life eternal. Then, my brothers and sisters, we see him, for we are with him. And then our hearts will burn as we walk with him. And so that very hour they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared." The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And so today I hope and I pray that maybe by looking at some of the reasons why God can be hidden in plain sight, why Jesus can be hidden in plain sight, that maybe something has been jogged. Maybe something has been loosened. And you recognize, you know, one of these things have caused you not to see Jesus. And I would invite you to invite him to just abide. Come and stay. Come and stay. And I can guarantee you, you will see it. And you will see him like you've never seen him before. And so I want to close with a prayer. And then I want to invite those of you that are listening, those of you that are watching, to invite him to come and stay. So, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the blessing of your presence. Father, forgive us for those times when we have not recognized you, when we have not seen you for who you are and seen you for what you've done. And now, Father God, bless this word as it goes out. May it do what you have desired for it to do, which is bring your lost children into your family of faith. We thank you, Father God, for this time in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never known him, or maybe at some point you walked with him, but then you walked away, I want to invite you to invite him to just come and stay. And when you pray this, you're not joining Balance Point. You're not joining our church, but you're joining the family of God. You're joining the redeemed, the saved. You're joining those who would put their trust in Jesus. And so if this is you, you don't have to use the same words that I'm going to use, but pray with the same heart. Father God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong about you. I've been wrong about Jesus. I've been running. I've been running on my ways to do things on my own and in my own way. Father, I was wrong about, you know, my expectations of who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it and where you're doing it. And so, Father God, I ask you to forgive me. And even more than asking you to forgive me, I accept the forgiveness that you've already provided through your son, Jesus, through Yeshua, through my salvation. And Father, I invite you, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, to come and stay with me. Stay. And Father, I know that as you stay with me, you will reveal your salvation to me. You'll reveal your healing to me. You'll reveal your restoration to me. But most of all, Father, I ask you to stay. And I thank you, Father God, for being with me, for saving me, for cleansing me of my sins. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. If that's you, I would invite you to contact us. You can contact us in a variety of ways. The easiest way is to just contact us through our website at www.balance-point.org. That's www.balance-point.org. We love to hear what God has done through you and for you this Easter day, this Resurrection Sunday. And now may God richly bless you and keep you. May he uplift you. May he heal you. And may he make you a shining jewel in his crown, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen and amen.